You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a discussion with industry leaders about how they persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Leading in Challenging Times. I'm Gary Shorman, and our program is presented today by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families. Our guest today, talk about leadership, fits right into that role, is the president of Fort Hays State University, Tisa Mason. And Tisa, it's so good to have you on because Fort Hays State University plays a leadership role, not only in our community, but really in Kansas. So good to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be a member of the community and to interact with folks such as yourself, telling the stories as well as all of our neighbors.
You know what, you said that well. There's a story to be told about what we do. There are times that maybe living in a big city has its advantages. Living where we do certainly has its advantages today, but we can't escape what's going on in the real world. And my first question I want to talk to you about, and because this program's about leadership, when you look back at it, was it harder to shut down in March when we all had to come to a screeching halt business-wise, or is it harder today looking forward to say, what do we do next and how do we keep going? What's the hardest?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. It's kind of an apples and an orange because as we were getting ready to shut down, it was difficult trying to make that decision. As a university president, every day you have the lives of your students and your faculty and your staff on your heart and the future of the institution. But we had really good directives, or at least clear directives, from the people that we were talking to, including the Kansas Department of Health and Environment and the Lieutenant Governor and Chief of Staff of Governor Kelly, who met with the university presidents. And in fact, our KBOR university presidents, we have met almost twice a week, every single week since the beginning of this. So what became clear as we talked to Dr. Norman is that we needed to close down. So there wasn't as much decision-making as it was about process. And, you know, kind of the heart of something that I think about every day is a quote by George Bernard Shaw, which says, "The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it is taking place." So it's not just the problem solving, but it's taking care of your people, the people you're in charge of, and helping everybody move forward. But we knew what we needed to do. We needed to shut down. And of course, we had the phenomenal experiences, not only for having an excellent distance ed program, but we had just been through this with taking over 4,000 students in China, dispersed over China and converting their classes so that they could actually take them on their mobile phone. So we had a lot of experience going there. We had a directive going into it. We had some new territory, but there was a lot of hard work, but some really good muscle memory, so to speak, to help move us forward. As we get into reopening, there's less clarity. There's less muscle memory, so to speak, and the decisions feel to be higher at stake in terms of especially the health and the well-being of the community from both, you know, economic as well as general prosperity and health and wellness of everyone.
Well, President Mason, having a chance, and there's several follow-ups to that, having a chance to travel with the university in China, there's a big connection with China, Fort Hays State, and students back here. And how challenging was that to be able to separate out, you know, the COVID virus with the connections that we have over there and still keep them moving forward?
So from a practical standpoint and operational, it was sequenced for us. So all that started happening in January, where this happened in March. But in terms of the psychological and going against sometimes conversations that happened in our community against our core values of and the importance that we place on caring and inclusivity, there's some challenges to be quite honest about making sure that there's not a lot of finger pointing, but learning from one another and helping to continue to solve problems and become a better society.
Away from Washington, D.C., being here in Kansas, how does that work? Is it working better when you talk about working together and problem solving versus pointing fingers, et cetera?
I just really believe in the local community because I think things have to start at the grassroots. So really planning together collectively, it helps when you have, as we're moving forward, to go back to that conversation, when you have some, what I would call banks on the river, so it's not just a big puddle, but it helps the flow if we know a little bit of some of the metrics and some of the ways that we can use best practices, if some of those best practices can be put in front of us. But some of the communication right now is very confusing because it's still developing. And I guess that's part of life.
Part of today's world, certainly. What do you as a president of a university do when you have 4,000 students, you have overseas students, you have students here, I say 4,000, you have more than that, but you have them in different parts, different places. How did you communicate? You had a great quote there, but how do you communicate that to the different types of students? And then you add a faculty to that as well.
Right. So I think of it as really doing checks in. Do people understand the information? We, of course, did things like build out our website, making sure that we cascade information from the university. I think about a week or two ago, I got a message from one of our staff members who said they were hearing some misinformation on reopening for staff. And so to be able to go back and act on that, so you have to be accessing the grapevine, so to speak, and then move forward with saying, hey, we hear that people are under this impression. Let me be more clear with you. These are the decisions that have been made. These are the decisions that haven't been made. This is how you find out the information. Building out our website almost always weekly, more frequently at the beginning when we were closing down. We've sent out information to the community. We've given them updates. Some of them are from our critical policy incident group, which has been managing a lot of the next steps, because we believe here that we should be problem solving locally and communicating centrally. And so we have also in our Tiger Daily a link every single day that goes back to the website for people to reference information. And still at the end of the day, communication is really a challenge. And it's easy to say, I sent out a memo, so I communicated, but it's also talking to people and touching base with them and seeing how people are doing. This is a resilient community, but these are tough times.
What's been the biggest challenge for faculty navigating this whole COVID crisis?
Well, they really work hard. For some of our faculty who have been doing distance ed, this has probably been a little easier, but they're managing, just like the students, multiple home environments, internet challenges with their family. I think our faculty have really been yeomen. They've got their own personal health and well-being to think about and take care of. Well, they've got all of their students' personal health and well-being to think about and to help check in with people. We've had care teams checking in on all of our students. It seems on the one hand as, boy, what a luxury. I get to stay home in my pajamas and go on Zoom calls, but it's exhausting. And we as human beings need connection, and we lose that. And it's easy to get into a lot of multitasking and getting things done and forgetting about taking care of yourself and the human capacity of connecting with one another.
Well, President Mason, I want to talk a little bit about what's going to happen this fall, maybe even this summer. But I want to give you a chance just to talk about and maybe brag about the university, because Fort Hays State has been awarded recognized national honors for excellence in online classes and doing that. And so you think, boy, we're ready to go. Was that a real plus, being on board doing the online already there? And does that help us as we start looking forward?
Yes, it did. In our teaching, TILT, our teaching and innovative learning technology staff is phenomenal. We do a lot of professional development for our faculty to sort support them as they're onboarding all their classes. But what's really important, I think, to know is that a lot of what happened in higher education over these last couple of months has been called online learning, and it's not online learning really, it is remote teaching and learning. And there's a huge difference between how you structure in your technology in terms of online learning and remote. So even our on-campus students, the bulk of them, if they were on an on-campus class, experience what is known as remote teaching and learning, which is basically no different than, you know, getting on Zoom and having your class, versus a asynchronous class is that's intentional and has different technology that you use to drive outcomes in the course. So one of my concerns, just as a leader and a leader of the university that's ahead of others in this firm field, is that people don't really understand the difference, and that they could have experienced remote teaching and learning and things, it's not for me, I'll never do an online class. And that's really concerning. We also have just been awarded one of the few institutions with our high quality standards from the United States Distance Learning Association, which included a team that came and reviewed our best practices and more than 120 standards, I believe. And so that's been really good, because that process of constantly having a spirit of positive restlessness, you know, willing to continually improve, has been a core quality of this institution and has served us well. It also has served us well, this willingness of continually improvement, for us to navigate this tough space that we're in right now.
You mentioned meeting with the other universities' presidents weekly. What are you doing to communicate with both Topeka, City of Hays, and maybe even external to Kansas? Is there that same level of communication between you and others across the state?
Well, not certainly not weekly, but I've been involved in some of the business webinars, Zoom meetings, I think that you've been on some of them when people have been pulled together, and especially the ones like Representative Barb Wassinger had for us and some others, to really hear what the businesses are going through has been, and get that sense of empathy and that perspective, has been very informative to me as a leader for our campus, and also an aha moment that, you know, you think about a university, you think of them as teaching and learning, but we're also running our residence halls, aka hotels. We've got our food service business. We have our retail stores. We're such a complex institution. And so that's been really informative and helpful. We've also gone and participated in some of the meetings and watched and communicated with Jason Kennedy, who I think is phenomenal as our Ellis County Health Director. As our plans are moving forward, I have been using, I just had a meeting earlier this week with Hays Med and Eddie Herman and Dr. Heather Harris and Dr. Dietz, the pathologist, as well as Jason Kennedy, just to say, here's where we're moving from your experiences. You know, how are we doing? What are we missing? Where are our best practices? We've talked about when we get ready to reopen in August, how do we coordinate together for test, trace, and quarantine? So our continued planning in the coming months will really have an impact on the community. So we're taking those steps to make sure that our public health and medical experts are consulted and help us coordinate our process. I'm really grateful that we have such great relationships with the city and the county. They've been fabulous, as they always are.
President Mason, that's a great transition here, because I want to come back from, we're going to take a quick break, going to come back And I want to talk about what Fort Hays State is planning for fall. You know, things like not only classes, but football and all those things. You know, what are the plans? What do you see today? I know that can all change pretty quick, but what do you see today? Then I want to talk about more from back to the leadership side of things on maybe what will we see that we have been doing today that we won't want to go back and do it the way we did before, because we're all seeing some of those things that we really like out about what's happened, and then how we're going to do that. So I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we'll be right back with the president of Fort Hays State University, President Tisa Mason. Program brought to you by Worth Wealth Management. More after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Welcome back to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. And our guest today is Fort Hays State President Tisa Mason. And we went into the break talking about fall. Everybody's thinking about what goes on. Not only in a regular fall, is there just a huge amount of planning that goes into classwork changes, all those things. But now we have a world where, are we even going to be there? What do you see from your chair, the president's chair at the university, of what's going to happen this fall?
Well, we are working on our phase plan toward first our employees starting to return and the university reopening. We're being slow and cautious because right now in the middle of summer, we can do that. We have started our online, not our remote teaching, but our online summer courses. So that is fabulous. On June 1, we'll have some select staff return. And one of the things that I really want to say that the leadership team that I'm really proud of is from the moment that we made the decision to ask our students to go home, we tried to do the right things, like keeping our employees, paid, even if they weren't working the full time of their employment, making sure our students got reimbursed for room and board. And I think those types of decisions, especially with keeping our employees employed, have good positive ripple effect on the community. In July, then we'll start getting into bringing more people back, and hopefully in August, and of course a lot can change between now and then, but we'll start that's where the lion's share of our planning is focused right now. So again, with that value of problem solving locally and communicating centrally, we have a lot of teams that are looking at how we're going to do that. Some of the things we're talking about, again, no decisions at this time, are a hybrid approach to even the on-campus classes that would combine both in-person with some remote work and some online. Again, those words, very intentional. Learning operations is necessary. We're trying to consider a number of contingencies in our preparation for plan three. And we always stay focused in our conversations on protecting those most at risk, establishing new processes and procedures as required so our employees and our students can return to safe and healthy work. We continue to coordinate again with talking to Hays Med and Ellis County on some of these initiatives. So we are deep in the middle of planning, so it's hard for me to give you a good vision, except for to say that we're so blessed. We're blessed because of this community. We're blessed because of the legacy of this institution, the innovation, the depth of understanding online engagement. One of the things that you sort of started talking about is that when we started to close down, one of the things I asked our community to do was to convert, not cancel. And we were among the first institution to think about starting to do things differently and not cancel events. We had to cancel some things, but even our intramurals department engaged students in intramural activity from a distance. We had our promotion and tenure celebration to honor folks in a Zoom meeting and with PowerPoints and music, and it's just been fabulous. And those, I think, are some of the things that we will take forward and learn and continue to springboard from.
I have to say, probably Gerard Wilbrock would want me to ask this question, but what about sports? Because that ties in with, I mean, you can have a team, you can be out there, but if you can't travel and you can't play with another team, it sort of defeats the purpose. So how does that decision get made?
Well, the presidents continue to engage regularly as well with the NCAA, and for us, the MIAA, our athletic conference. And a lot of those decisions, of course, they have medical staff as well at the NCAA. There's conversations about more reduced schedules because of that. So not as many games, but some games, whether or not, as you hear on the news now, what's the fan support look like? There's still a lot of decisions to be made. The recruiting aspect, and of course, my heart goes out to those student athletes from the spring semester that didn't get to our women's basketball team, who didn't get to go to their next level of play, and all of our student athletes. So we are still assessing, we're meeting, we're trying to use science and data to make really good decisions. It's easy after so much time to just wanna say, hey, I've got my rights, let's just get out there and do it. But there's always, and President Hammond taught me this, there are short-term decisions and long-term decisions. And you've got to have a balance to that, and you've got to be thinking long-term as well as short-term.
That ties into leadership, and that's what this program's about. When this first started happening and going through that, did you reach down and come back with some thoughts of leaders, mentors that you'd work with to say, how do I get, you know, there was never a training course that I remember on dealing with pandemics. And so where did you get your support, your leadership, where did you get that energy to make those right decisions?
Well, I really reflect a lot. I talk a lot. My whole career, I would describe as someone who has taken blind leaps of faith. I'm very much spiritual, so I've got spiritual advisors, I've got content advisors from, you know, even checking in, like I said, with a good relationship already established with Hayes Med and Eddie Herman. I'm just getting to know Jason Kennedy, talking to some of the past presidents of my professional association have also checked in, who have retired. I certainly talk to President Hammond on a regular basis as well. I stay in with the Kansas Board of Regents. The chair and the vice chair have been on calls, as well as the CEO of the board. So for me, it's really getting out there, scanning the environment, collecting everybody's decisions. I've talked several times just last Friday, Senator Moran called and we processed some information and checked in there. So for me, it is constantly focusing on our people, keeping our eye on horizon, gathering some information and scanning it, checking it out with people, talking, and then still having the courage at the end of the day to have to make decisions to move forward.
When you move forward, you start looking at those things, and I love your comments of tying those around you. So you're not trying to operate in a vacuum, not trying to just make the decision, but getting the input and an essential part of leadership. But there are things you look at that we did, I'll say, before the COVID crisis, that now we've changed the way that we're doing some things. Are there some things before you say, I really don't want to go back that way? I like some of these new ideas that we have learned. So as we look forward, we're going to be incorporating some new things. Do you have some of those on your list?
Well, I think in general, we need to think about engagement in different things. And that's very important for Fort Hays State University, because we have so many international students, not only in China and other countries, and our largest percentage of students are our online distance ed students. And so how do we, including faculty and our adjunct faculty, so how do we continue to take some of the lessons that we learned so that we're not so kind of campus-centric and our approach to celebrating and communicating initiatives, strategies, and people in progress. And so I think in a lot of ways that will continue to inform us and help us think a little differently out of the box, so to speak. Even convocation, when I started working on convocation for spring this year, I got on the phone with a team of people, including Dr. Andrew Feldstein from our Technology and Learning Center. And he challenged me and he said, because I'm like, well, how do I do my PowerPoints and stand on stage and talk to an empty audience? He goes, you don't. That's what you're supposed to be learning from here. You've got to think differently. And the most important thing that we can do during convocation is kind of put aside some of the more factual information and really focus on our people and celebrating our people and answering questions. Some of Dr. Jill Arnsdorf has had her coffee meetings that have been face-to-face are now on Zoom and really having honest conversations with people. And I think sometimes people engage more because they don't have to stop and think about walking to campus. So they're clicking on and they're listening to her and they're asking questions and engaging in a deeper level. And the same would be true for people who aren't on the campus that never had the opportunity to do that. And I know that she's been really intentional in using online technology prior to that so that people can engage. But I think our communications and really thinking about the people part of it. It's interesting that the technology drives us to think deeper about the people aspect of it, but also the timeliness, the interactions, and just doing things differently.
Where should people go if they want to follow what Fort Hays State is doing? What's the best source of that? Because sometimes the information, the communication is important, but if you just take it from sources, you sometimes get a translation. If they want to understand what the university is doing, what's the best place for them to go?
Like regarding the COVID-19 decisions?
And the university in general.
Well, obviously our website is accessible 24/7. There's a COVID-19 website. All of our decisions have been communicated and posted there. We have a Victory chatbot now. So if you're not sure, just check in with Victory and he'll help you find the information. Certainly our office of, head by Scott Kaysen of Media Relations is an important one to know. And definitely just call us if you need something and we'll get you to the right person.
President Mason, I just really appreciate you spending time with me talking about not only leadership, but Fort Hays State. Those of us that are in Northwest Kansas are proud of what the university is doing, and obviously the leadership in online learning has certainly will be an advantage going forward, and just appreciate your time. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do, too.
Our guest today on Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, is the president of Fort Hays State University, Tisa Mason. Tisa, thank you, and thank you for listening. Our program is brought to you by Worth Wealth Management. You can live with confidence. Thanks to Tim and his team over there for the work they do. Leading in challenging times. Forward Ever.
Thank you for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Be sure to check back next week for another episode with your host, Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never. Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.